Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You have year-end goals. Constant Contact has what it takes to help you meet them faster. Sell more, raise more, and build real relationships with your audience with Constant Contact's digital marketing tools. Put the go in all your 2024 goals with email, social, SMS, and customized marketing campaigns built for you in just a few clicks. Now through December 4th, get 40% off any Constant Contact marketing plan for 3 months. Ready, set, go to ConstantContact.com and get started today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome to winter. It's officially the coldest day we've had this fall, without a doubt. It's in the 20s out there this morning, and it's going to get colder. So we go on, and then the rest of the week, I guess, from what I'm picking up. I did hear my friend Matt Chambers say today that this is the second latest
freeze
point into fall when we've actually got below freezing for the first time.
Well, then we should expect to see some story about global warming on tonight's
I'm waiting for it. It's taken us this long till late November to get to below freezing. I'm fine with that. I told you I went duck hunting yesterday. It was beautiful out there. A little windy, you know, but 50 degrees.
Did you get any?
We did. We got three.
So what do you do? Do you actually cook them?
My son took these, and he's going to prepare them. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, and you know, just like with any wild game, there's a particular way to do it. So he's got that down to a science. But we let Brad take those three ducks. We had a good time. Thanks to my friend Mark for inviting us out yesterday. It was a good time. It's far better, in my opinion, than deer hunting. Can I just tell you that? Because you're not all by yourself for hours just sitting there. And I mean, sometimes that can be nice, but You can chit-chat and all that and look around for the ducks, and then you don't get quiet until you start using the duck call to try to get them to come close to you.
The thought of sitting in a deer stand by myself for hours, not being able to make a sound, sounds like torture.
Yeah, but you'd be away from Michael and Easton, and you'd get a little solitude to yourself enjoying nature. You wouldn't enjoy that?
I enjoy nature in other ways. I don't need to sit in a deer stand for hours in the cold by myself.
Okay. All right. To each his own. I mean, it can be nice at times, and unless you just don't see any deer for all 8 hours that you're out there, then it gets a little boring, I'll have to admit. We've got Nicole Ambrose coming up. I almost called her Nicole. She's talking about these, you know, you got this mayor in Denver. We're going to talk about this here in a second, claiming that he'll make his city a sanctuary city. And Tom Homan saying, that's all right. Go ahead. I'll lock you up if you do that. And at the same time, we've got more and more rapes and murders coming forward. News breaking about these all over the country. What is going on? We're going to talk to Nicole about that coming up at 6:20. But first, let's get to the shortlist.
The Mark Cox shortlist.
Well, look, me and the Denver mayor, we agree on one thing. He's willing to go to jail. I'm willing to put him in jail.
Tom Homan walking into a stiff wind again, man. He's absolutely fearless, and he's challenging this guy in Denver that's like, we're a sanctuary city, and we're going to keep it that way.
The Justice Department Special Counsel Jack Smith just filed a motion to dismiss the federal criminal case against the president-elect.
Yeah, lawfare is over, at least for now. Jack Smith is backing away from his federal cases against Donald Trump, wants them to go away, and then very soon, Jack Smith will go away.
And I guarantee you that in 10 years, America's going to learn the truth about January 6th, and nobody's going to think Donald Trump was in the right. So I take pride in that.
Oh, Lord. Adam Kinzinger. Somebody help that man. Can I just point out that Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney joined Democrats on a select committee on January 6th? Supposedly, they should know all there is to know. Why would we have to wait 10 years? Except that they lied about most of it.
Not only am I not interested in your opinion, I'm not even going to call you by your name. You're 23 years old. I don't really give a what you think.
The raging Cajun still melting down after the results of the election. That is James Carville, former Clinton campaign advisor, and I don't know if he was ever the campaign manager, but certainly an advisor. I think he's the one that said, you never know what'll happen when you drag a dollar bill through a trailer park, in reference to the women that accused Bill Clinton of sexual improprieties. I think that was Carville that came up with that beauty. He's mad. James Carville is angry because he says the Harris campaign took its advice from young progressives who can't see the forest for the trees and who only care about one or two issues like trans rights or men playing in women's sports,
abortion,
or DEI or abortion. And by taking that advice, the Democratic Party missed the boat in this election and alienated themselves from a lot of American voters. And the raging Cajun is, I think it might be a little bit of an understatement to say he's pissed off. Listen,
not only am I not interested in your opinion, I'm not even going to call you by your name. You're 23 years old. I don't really give a what you think. And let me tell you another huge error this way is when people said campaigns need to reflect progressive values. No, they don't. If I were running a 2028 campaign and I had some little snot-nosed 23-year-old saying, I'm going to resign if you don't do this, not only would I fire that motherfucker on the spot, I would find out who hired them and fire that person on the spot. I'm really not interested in your uninformed, stupid jackass opinion.
Oh my!
He was on a roll. He's angry that you know that the left listened to the 23-year-olds apparently that Kamala Harris hired to get her elected.
There are some very smart 23-year-olds.
Sure,
I don't think it has anything to do with age. I think that she picked the wrong people.
Well, I do think it has something to do with age. I don't think somebody at age 23, for men specifically, who've barely emerged from full frontal lobe development out of college, have any business running a campaign like that, particularly influencing a presidential campaign. Do you have opinions? Might you be some representative of the young voting class of progressive Democrats and have some input on ways to reach them? Yes. Should you be in charge of the overall strategy for the campaign and advising a presidential candidate and campaign on how to run? No.
Well,
you don't have the scope of experience to do that.
I'm not sure you should be running the entire campaign, but I don't think there's any problem with them advising. Like, I understand Caroline Leavitt's going to be the press secretary. She's like 28 years old, and she was helping Trump's campaign, I believe, for his first run, right?
I believe she played
some role in that, which is why he had that connection with her and then has now tapped her as the press secretary.
Yeah. Well, 28 is different than 23. I mean, again, I'd argue that you might have some input. Like Barron Trump apparently advised his dad on which podcasts he should go on to try to reach that younger audience. But I don't think Barron was giving dad advice on which topics he should be pushing on his national campaign. I think there's a difference there.
I do understand your point, but then let's just think about this. Charlie Kirk, he's not 23. I get that, but he's younger than I am. He's, I think, either late 20s or early 30s, maybe. Charlie actually, I think, could be very effective at having a leadership position.
He's 30 or 31. He's not 23. That's my only point. I'm not saying it. I just think I see Carville's point. It just is only James Carville could express it there in that take. I thought it was pretty
funny.
He did
not mince words.
I love it when they become unhinged like that, which has happened a lot lately. Hey, let's go to, we'll get to Nick Lee Ambrose when we come back and talk more about Tom Homan's comments of locking up the Denver mayor if he gets in the way of deporting illegal criminals. We'll be back.
Absolutely breaking law. All you have to do is look at Arizona versus U.S. You'll see these breaking law. But look, me and the Denver mayor, we agree on one thing. He's willing to go to jail. I'm willing to put him in jail. Because there's a statute. It's Title 8 United States Code 1324 III, and what it says is it's a felony if you knowingly harbor and conceal an illegal alien from immigration authorities. It's also a felony to impede a federal law enforcement officer. So if we don't want to help, that's fine. He can get the hell out of the way. But we're going to go do the job. President Trump has a mandate for American people. We got to secure this country. We got to save American lives.
All right, Tom Homan there last night saying that we got something in common, me and that Denver mayor. He's willing to go to jail, and I'm willing to put him there. Can I just tell you, I can't wait until this guy is actually in charge of something. 2 months can't come fast enough. Nick Lee Ambrose on the phone with us, former National Young Republican Chair and GOP National Committee Woman from Maryland. Nick Lee, welcome back.
Great to be here. And January 20th cannot come soon enough. Please enforce our federal laws. Yes.
No kidding. I've described Tom Homan. I've met him a few times, had him on the radio. He walks like he's walking into a strong wind. I mean, he's just that guy. He's the perfect guy for that position.
He is. I mean, based on both experience and the man has the heart and mind for it. He heard him give the most heart-wrenching speech here in Maryland and talked to him afterwards. He had basically found a trailer in Texas. He was called down, and everyone in the trailer had died of, you know, starvation, of heat, of lack of water, and they were just left to die, and they all did die in this trailer, and he opened it. And it was just so difficult to hear him talk about this little boy he found in Batman underwear, and he just broke down because this little boy was wearing the same Batman underwear that his son had. And this is a man who just not only wants to, of course, enforce our laws, but does not want people coming here to this nation used by cartels into child and sex trafficking, this $14 billion a year industry where cartels control our southern border, not the United States government. And these women, these children are violently used, sometimes killed, for the purposes of just furthering disgusting cartels enterprises.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, even as we listen to this nonsense from the Illinois mayor over here, or the governor of Illinois, I should say, Pritzker, and the mayor in Denver, and people in California, we're a sanctuary city. We're going to protect our citizens and our residents, they say. We hear these horrible stories of yet another person besides Lake and Riley who was abducted and raped by an illegal alien. There was another arrest yesterday. These things keep happening. Who are they protecting?
Yes. Well, and the thing is, these violent, criminal, illegal aliens seem to have super rights.
Yes.
Right? Because if a U.S. citizen did any of these things, they'd be locked up and the key would be thrown away. Or they'd be killed, right? They'd be electrocuted. Here, instead, as long as you are not from the United States, as long as you have broken every single law to get here, you can get away with this.
Yeah.
You can do it as much as you want and seemingly just keep getting out of jail. One of the more entertaining things was this weekend, apparently DA Alvin Bragg's assistant up in New York City was robbed and attacked by an illegal who had apparently had five priors. So they seem to finally have this one particular guy in New York City and aren't going to let him go.
I think I saw some new poll that talked about how it was definitely the majority of Americans, maybe like 65%, if I'm remembering correctly, supported Trump's plan to deport all these illegals.
Yep.
So I think we're made to seem like we're the crazy ones who were not loving, you know what I mean? And that's just not true.
You made such a good point here, because none of these progressive leftists are getting the memo, whether it's Katie Hobbs, who's governor of a border state. Her state just voted for Trump. Thank God Trump won such a resounding victory with both electoral college and the popular vote, because the left had just been bullying everyone, right? Yes. They'd been saying, if you don't agree with every single thing we think, whether it's immigration, whether it's the economy, foreign affairs, whatever, you're wrong, you're crazy, we're the ones in control, and look, Beyonce and Oprah agree with us. But thank God, it was a resounding victory, and I think now Americans have more confidence. Like, wow, we still have common sense. You know, we're allowed to have these opinions. Boys shouldn't be raping girls in bathrooms in Virginia. You know, just basic things that should be standard in our everyday lives, but now, once again, Americans have faith to say, no, this is basic. This is normal. Girls are girls. Boys are boys. And illegal aliens should not be here. And the first ones out should be the ones who kill our citizens.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. Well, Beyonce and Oprah agree for a price, right?
Yes, I know.
There's a price tag on that.
Just a few million dollars should do the trick.
Wouldn't you love to have your political soul be known for being purchased so easily? My God.
Oh, man. Nicolee Ambrose, thank you for your time this morning.
Always great chatting.
Yeah, great having you on. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Yeah, here's the poll. Breitbart carried it. 3 in 4 say Donald Trump should prioritize deportations. And that wasn't a Breitbart poll. It was a CBS News poll conducted on YouGov of 2,332 adults. Just 1 in 4 said repatriations are not a priority.
There we go.
There you go. The American people voted on November 5th for a reason, and they now want Donald Trump to carry out those reasons. Coming up, we'll get to former Senator John Lamping. He knows a thing or two about at least one of Donald Trump's recent appointments to the cabinet. We'll pick his brain coming up.
John, yesterday, my husband, Friday, the announcement of the Treasury Secretary came out. And I was like, that name sounds familiar.
One of our people.
Well, that's the point I was getting to. So yesterday morning, my Nick says, wait, Scott Bessent is gay?
He is.
And married?
Yes.
And has children?
Yes, he does.
Yesterday, when I brought this up, you know, he, if he's confirmed, would be the highest ranking out LGBT person ever to serve, to be appointed and confirmed by the United States Senate. And I said, you know, I'm kind of conflicted about
it.
It's Trump who did it. I'm kind of conflicted about this.
Look, I think in that case, credit where it's due. I think he's also, I think we expect the markets to shoot up when they open in Asia here in a little bit. I think Wall Street likes the guy. It is very interesting that, yes, it is Trump and not one of our team who made that historic nomination.
What team is that exactly? Is that the Alphabet Mafia team? Like, that's Jonathan Capehart shocked that Donald Trump would promote somebody who was gay to a position of authority in the government. And they don't want to like it, but they kind of like it, which is weird. Now, I don't know anything about Scott Bessent, but John Lamping told me that he does. So we've got former Senator Lamping on this morning, as always on a Tuesday morning. John, welcome back.
Good morning, Mark and Ken. Nice to be with you on this chilly Thanksgiving Tuesday morning. Finally got our first frost out here in St. Charles County, which is good. We need to kill some bugs.
Yeah, no kidding. I noticed that when it warmed up the other day. I'm like, where did these bugs go? I thought they were all dead already, and they were back. So,
yeah, we have swarms of ladybugs, and now they'll finally be frozen to death, hopefully.
Yeah, no
as
kidding.
Long as the cicadas don't come back, I'm good.
What's your connection with the Scott Bessent? What do you know about him?
Well, it's just somebody, you know, I'm in the investment community, as is he. He is a was well considered reputation. He runs a hedge fund now. He did a stretch under George Soros, which you can hate George Soros' politics, but in the hedge fund world, he's very successful, and he attracts a lot of very bright minds. And what's interesting about the administration is obviously CNN focuses entirely upon this person's personal life and the social aspects, and he's all giddy about the fact that he's gay and has children. But what's really important is what he intends to do about the economy and his view of the world. He has a deep understanding of the situation in which we find ourselves as a country. I'm really grateful for the fact that we won the election. We needed a new approach to things, but financially we are in a very difficult situation. And so Scott Bessent, in terms of marketing simplistically, he set his goal three threes is how he markets his desired outcomes. He wants to have the economy run at a 3% real GDP rate. So that's nominal GDP minus inflation. That's we rarely have we run at 3% GDP. More often than not, it's been closer to 2. He wants us to pump 3 million barrels of oil, new oil, a day. That's very admirable gold, but sadly, we don't have the capacity as we sit currently. And then finally, and most importantly, is he wants the deficit to be no larger than 3% of the gross domestic product. Right now, our deficit runs at about 6.5% of our gross domestic product. And it seems very obvious what the Biden administration did the last 18 months is that they spent like crazy. They hired like crazy. You may not know this, but in the last year and a half, the largest creator of full-time jobs was actually the government.
Wow.
And so with what Bessent wants to do, what Elon Musk wants to do, with Russ Vought, who's head of the OMB, wants to do, it's interesting, Mark, if they are successful in reducing the deficit, that almost certainly pushes into an official recession because all of the growth initiatives in the administration won't take effect for at least a year or two. But if they're successful in cutting the deficit the way they want to cut the deficit, it'll have a very large negative impact on the economy, which is perfect for a president who doesn't have to worry about reelection.
I want to get your opinion on one of Trump's other picks, and that's his pick for Surgeon General. Dr. Jeanette, and I'll be honest, I don't even know how to pronounce her last name, but I have concerns about her. Yeah, I am very confused by that pick because, well, maybe she's learned her lesson and she saw that the vaccine did not work, just like masking did not work. But she was out there praising it, saying the vaccine was basically a gift from God and that she supported double masking and masking kids in school. How big of a deal do you think that is? Like, how influential would the Surgeon General be?
Well, she's a horrible pick. And the good news in that with that pick is that the Surgeon General doesn't do a whole lot other than be a spokesperson. I will say this, is that Trump's Achilles heel is the vaccine.
Right.
You know, to this day, he doesn't acknowledge the fact that it's not a vaccine, that the impact it's had on people's health has been detrimental. I'm of the opinion that it was purposeful. And yet Trump just won't let that issue go away. He continues to say that, you know, it was a great, perfect vaccine and how quickly it came to market. The good news is that she doesn't have a whole lot to do. The good news is that RFK is in charge of all things health related. All major decisions have come out of that office. So you know, the interesting thing in the Trump universe, I know a lot of people are down at Mar-a-Lago lobbying for jobs, and then there are other people that have access to the president who it looks like they may or may not be selling that access. You know, there are some appointments that have come through don't make any sense, but at the end of the day, that one doesn't really make a whole lot of difference.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to ask you as well, because he's got some pretty strong connections to Missouri, and is John Sauer, who he picked as U.S. Solicitor General. I was in talking to some folks the other day, are pretty heavily involved in conservative politics, and they were all giddy over that pick. They love John Sauer.
Yeah, John's a phenomenal pick, and he's an extraordinary attorney. I actually think that if time comes to appoint a Supreme Court justice, I'm pretty sure that Sauer will be on that list. You know, I met John briefly when I was coming out of office. We were trying to figure out who might run in my place. And I had lunch with John to discuss it, and he was smart enough to look at me and say, I'm going to practice the law. And no, I'm thrilled with that. I think the fact that he's going to be doing that is just extraordinary. And who knows? It looks like they're still trying to figure out, you know, who's going to be the head of the FBI. And I saw where our attorney general is on that short list. So maybe Missouri has some more people to send to the federal government.
Yeah, I wondered about that. And I saw Kash Patel's name thrown around, and everybody acts like that is shocking. But, you know, maybe you and I have talked about this before, but you can't campaign the way Donald Trump did and then get into office and not disrupt some of these federal bureaucracies you've been so critical of. And you can't disrupt a federal bureaucracy by appointing somebody who's part of it.
Yeah, no, for the most part, his appointments have been just that. They're disruptors. I'm very concerned about what's going on in the Senate. First, the leadership vote, and soon being made leader. And then when it was announced last week that McConnell is going to be the chair of the Rules Committee, and I think McConnell's making no secret of the fact that his stated purpose in life these next 2 years are to stop everything Trump, and that includes the appointments. It's a really sad commentary that the U.S. Senate will do all it can in total to slow Trump down. And so we'll see. There's going to have to be some recess appointments in my mind in order for these disruptors to get through. I mean, there's no bigger protector of the status quo than Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, I could not agree with that more. John, always great having you on. Thank you.
Yeah, enjoy your week, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. We do appreciate that. Yeah, I figured he knew Sauer pretty well. I didn't know that he had personally connected with him, but yeah, he would be a great pick. And the group of people I was with that day also brought that up. If he goes into the government as Solicitor General for a couple of years and an opening comes up on the United States Supreme Court, it was unanimously believed that Sauer would be on the short list for that, because he's just a brilliant legal mind. And they thought that he would maybe be on the short list because Trump knows him. Obviously, he's worked with Trump before as well. All right, a quick break here. We're going to get to In Other News coming up with Ethan. Next hour, our buddy Todd Pyro from Fox and Friends First. Find out what he's up to on this shortened work week for Thanksgiving. We'll be back in just a minute.
Happening.
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news,
Elton John revealed on Good Morning America that he's lost vision in his right eye due to a severe infection. It is an uncertain when he will be able to record music again. The 77-year-old singer shared that his left eye is also not in great condition, making it difficult to see, read, or watch anything. While doctors are hopeful for recovery, John described the situation as kind of floored and noted the healing process has been really slow.
So he's kind of quit touring, hasn't he?
Yes.
Didn't he
so,
have his final he? Tour?
That tour, that goodbye.
Yeah, I thought so. Well, but some of them say that and then they go back out on the road.
Thank you. I was about to say that.
I could see him doing a residency, but
I'm sorry
see
to hear
him
that, though.
Doing
yeah. Love Elton John. He's good. More music news. The 2024 Billboard and Music Award nominees have been announced, with Zach Bryan leading the way with 18 nominations, despite recent accusations of emotional abuse by his ex-girlfriend Brianna Lepaglia. Taylor Swift follows closely with 16 nods, Morgan Wallen with 15, and first-time nominee Sabrina Carpenter with 9. Other notable first-time nominees include Teddy Swims and Tyla with 8 nominations each. And you can check out the Billboard Music Awards on December 12th across all Fox, Paramount Plus, and Amazon Fire TV channels.
Teddy Swims only got 8 votes.
8 nominations.
You don't know who that is.
I don't even know who the hell that is.
He's got a great
voice. I bet you would if you heard that song.
Okay.
Speaking of Billboard, Jason Aldean. Have we talked about this? He was left out of Billboard's top 100 country artists of all time. Really?
What a joke.
That's a joke.
I can't even believe that.
She says it's because they're woke, and I would agree with that. I'm sorry.
Is it
his wife is saying that.
His wife.
Yeah, I understand it's his
who
wife.
Endorsed
but
Trump.
Right, but I still feel like she has to be spot on. It's Jason Aldean.
So?
There are other artists on there who I feel like, and yeah, of course you're going to ask me to name them, and
So they ignore this one who's accused of abuse by his ex-wife.
Girlfriend.
Yeah. But they won't give Aldean a break because of his wife's opinion on politics. Anyway.
Well, him too. He wrote that small town song, so
yeah,
that riled up some feathers. NBC is renegotiating its right to broadcast the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which Carl did three times.
Three times, not five, was what we learned yesterday.
Yeah.
Potentially increasing the annual cost to $60 million, up from the current $20 million. The proposed deal would extend the network's partnership for another decade. In 2023, the parade attracted 30 million views, generating $52 million in advertising revenue, with commercials averaging $865,000 each.
So, wait a minute. It generated $50 million, and they're going to pay $60 million for the right to broadcast it?
For five years or
for so. For 5 years.
Oh, okay. So they'll still make a healthy profit.
Yes.
Well, they show it twice. It's supposed to be wet and cold there.
Who
so
watches
we'll see
it?
How.
That's
no,
what I
want to
know.
I do. I think it's
background.
Fun.
Yeah,
fact,
exactly. Yeah.
It is on the background. Like the other day, I'm like, Michael, can we wake up, light a fire, and turn on the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade?
Really?
Yeah. And not that we're going to sit there on the couch and just watch it, but it's nostalgic it's just to have it on in the background.
You're so 1950s,
Mark, I'm all about nostalgia.
I'm just telling you. I used to get a suit. Do you remember this? I had to do the Channel 4 parade one time up here.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I will tune in occasionally just to watch how miserable they are sitting there trying to come up with things to say about each float that goes by. That was one of the most miserable experiences of my life.
Well, that is particularly bad. But the Rose Parade, they have a lot more info and stuff to say rather than there's that guy in a pickup truck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love the people. My friends over here still over Channel 4, but I despised having to do that.
I love the long stretches of nothing.
Yeah, thank you.
That's what I mean. You just, la, 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 la. There went a dog.
Let's go to our buddy Matt Chambers, who's down on the street with an interview from, you know, the Ameren, who's sponsoring it or whatever. I mean, come on.
Can't wait to tune into the Ameren interview.
Hopefully no sponsors here.
Love you, Matt. Go ahead.
Carolina Prime Pet Inc. has issued a recall for 16-ounce bags of Hollywood Feed Carolina Made Chicken Chips Dog Treats. It's been sold in 19 states, including Missouri, and online. There's a potential salmonella contamination, although no illness have been reported, but the company is taking precautionary measures after a third-party lab found the contamination. So if you have those, don't feed them to your dogs.
Yeah, thank you.
Dictionary.com has announced Demure is its 2024 Word of the Year, thanks to TikToker Jules LeBron. The word, traditionally meaning shy and modest, gained popularity after LeBron's viral and sarcastic video showcasing her makeup routine, calling it very demure and very mindful.
This LeBron James?
not that.
I've been thinking of that all morning, Carl. I'm not even going to lie. This sparked a trend of users posting their own takes on being demure. The word saw a 12,000% increase online usage between January and August and has evolved into a reflection of sophistication and self-possession.
When's the last time you heard the word demure before somebody used it on TikTok?
There you go.
I don't use it because I'm so sick of everybody else using it.
Well, Mark uses it every morning.
Well, yeah, you're right. Mark does say it a lot.
He's so demure.
So demure.
Our shore's
he epitomizes
be demure,
demure.
Said no one ever. No, that for sure. Coming up, we'll get to Todd Pyro, host of Fox and Fringe First, and our buddy Mark Walters. Can't wait to get him on here for a second for our Armed American Radio host. We'll get him on here for 2A Tuesday coming up. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.